We're teaching on creation tonight. This morning I gave you this statement, and that is, everything that you believe about where we came from has to come by faith, and God made it that way. You know, God doesn't spend time explaining himself. He doesn't spend time defending himself. He just says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It's just a fact. It's just a statement from God, and he expects us to take that by faith. Now, he's given us a lot of evidence to support that statement, and we could look at some of that. We won't spend a lot of time on that tonight. But there's a lot of evidence supporting the fact that God says in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the rest of the statements about creation. I believe that creation happened over 6 days, 6 literal days, and it happened about 6,000 years ago. And the reason I believe that is because that is what the Bible says. The Bible says, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. So we understand that that is where earth came from. That's where heaven came from. It's as simple as that. God made it. God created it. Then we have some of the details on how it happened. We'll read the creation account. Then I'm going to give you some thoughts. And remember, the reason for teaching, the reason for preaching this particular type of a message tonight is because this is the same discipleship program that I would like you to be able to take somebody else and teach them. We're not going to go into all the different aspects of creation versus evolution. You can spend a long time doing that. And I believe that the evidence that's here in the earth proves a creator, is evidence for a creator. But ultimately, you've still got to take it by faith, because it wasn't observed by anybody but by God. And he's the one that said, this is how it happened. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, we're in verse 6 now, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Let me stop there and just tell you, this has changed since creation. There was water above the earth and the water on the earth, and there was the atmosphere in between it. And a lot of folks believe that whenever the flood came, a lot of the water that was necessary for the flood came from that. There's lots of different theories. I understand that. But there was the firmament, and that was the air that was in between the water on the above and the water that was below. And that's what God created there, the firmament, on day two. Let's see. Then we go to verse number 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. It goes on for 6 days. Verse 14, God said, let there be lights in the firmament. The end of verse 15, the Bible says, and it was so. And he talks about the verse 16. God made two great lights. The greater lights rule the day. The lesser lights rule the night. He made the stars also. I always get a kick about that. Millions and millions and billions of stars. And we've got this one little phrase. He made the stars also. The video that we'll show you a little bit later tonight, you'll see it, and you'll think, wow. In one phrase, God said, and he made the stars also, but how many there are is just so amazing. Verse number 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Look at verse number 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And then in verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. This will be our last verse. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And there you have the creation of everything that is in existence. Well, I don't know exactly where God created the angels, but I believe it was in there somewhere. All the way from light to the earth to all the water on the earth to the atmosphere. This is it. God said it. God created it. And everything he created, he spoke, and it appeared, except for man and except for woman, which he took out of man. So the very first chapter of the Bible, this is thrown at us, and God says, this is how it started. He doesn't defend himself. He doesn't use apologetics and explain himself. He just says, I said it. It happened. It was good. I created it. What we want to understand and help folks to understand is that God created everything. Our first question tonight is that, who created everything? Well, the Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We don't have to go into all the details of all the different theories. We don't have to talk about all the false teaching. We just need to understand God did it. God created the heaven and the earth. He spoke everything into existence. This is number two under who created everything. He spoke everything into existence out of nothing. Now, you can be creative. You can create something. Maybe you're an artist and you're a creative person. I love watching or seeing what a good artist can create. It's just amazing. But there's still a difference between what a good artist can create and what God creates. See, a good artist can take paint or they can take colors and they can paint something on a canvas, which is on an easel, and they can paint that and it looks great. And we say, wow, that's amazing and what talent. But still, they use something to make that finished product. An architect or a builder can take just sand and wood and mortar and nails or bolts or however they do it, take all this raw material and make a beautiful building. And we say, wow, that's amazing. Look what that person made. Look what they created. But they still started with something. I think it's so amazing and so incredible that God started with nothing and he spoke everything into existence from nothing. Ex nihilo. From nothing. He spoke it. And you can't do that. You can't even explain that. How can something come from nothing that breaks every law in the universe? Or at least a couple of them. And you can't just have something appear from nothing. But God did that. And that's how God began everything. A lot of times we would like to explain away the miracles of God. And some people will say, well, maybe God used millions of years of life and death and life and death and of millions of years to let things evolve to get to where they are today. And they try to explain away the miracle part of it and try to make it seem like it could happen naturally. Well, the Bible says it was 6 days and the evening and the morning was the first day. We understand that there are 24-hour literal days. But people don't stop with that. They try to explain away any type of miracle in the Bible. You've heard of the Red Sea explanations, right? We know that the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. They made it across to the other side. And then Pharaoh's army came through. The sea came crashing down on them and they drowned. A lot of people would like to say, well, it was probably just a natural occurrence where they crossed in a shallow area. And you know the answer to that. Well, then how did Pharaoh's army all drown in such shallow water? And so many times we try to take the wonderful miracles of the Bible and people will try to make it seem like just a natural thing that could have happened. We need to understand that God created everything. He spoke everything into existence from nothing. I believe you have this in your notes there, Psalm 33. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. What an amazing God we have. He said it, and it happened. And it just appeared, and it was there. So what happened at creation? We just read the account. God created everything. First of all, God created everything in 6 days. On day one, he created light and dark. On day two, he created the firmament. On day three, he created the dry land and the plants. First 3 days, he takes making a place for what he's going to create the next 3 days. I've never noticed this before until I started studying this, but I want you to notice this. What did he make on day one? Light and dark. What did he make on day four, the second half of creation? He made the sun, moon, and stars. Something to put into that light and dark. Have you ever realized, maybe you have, that God created light before he created the sun, moon, and stars? Did you realize that? What an amazing thing that is. And he did. He created the light. Then on day number four, 4 days later, he creates the sun, he creates the moon, creates the stars. On day number five, he creates the fish and the birds to go into what he created on day number two, the firmament, heavens or the sky, where he separated the heaven from the water above from the water beneath. On day number six, he created the animals, the beasts of the field, he said, and Adam and Eve, and so he created them, and they went into what he created on day number three, the dry land. This is just an amazing, amazing thing. What happened to creation? God created everything in 6 days. Genesis 1:31, the Bible says, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. On the seventh day, this was the very first week of existence, God rested. God rested on day seven. I don't understand why God rested. I can't explain why God rested, except to give us an example maybe to rest. But the Bible says in Genesis 2, verse 2, on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Who created everything? God created everything. What did he do? Well, he created everything in 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh. So here's a question a lot of people are going to ask, and here's an answer for it. When did creation take place? I believe the Bible teaches that man was created and that creation happened about 6,000 years ago. Now, there's a lot of different theories and a lot of people have different ideas about this. I have reasons why I believe this. For example, I don't believe that God created the earth and then the earth was destroyed and then God recreated the earth. And there's the time, the gap theories. You may believe that, you may not believe that. What I believe, though, is that if you believe a gap theory, that puts millions of years or thousands of years, however much time you want to put in there, of death before sin happened. And the Bible says death passed upon all men because all have sinned. So I don't think that's a good theory because that puts a lot of death before sin. So, but there's a lot of theories. And as we disciple people, as we teach people, our goal is not to dig really deep into all these theories and all the different ideas. We want to give them the truth. We want to give them what the Bible says. So if we could simply teach them that creation happened about 6,000 years ago, and you could take the generations from Luke chapter 3, we won't look there tonight, but you can take the generations from Jesus Christ all the way back to Adam. You could trace them back. And you can see that there were about 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham. There were about 2,000 years from Adam, from Abraham to Christ. And there were about 2,000 years from Jesus Christ till today. So about 6,000 years. I don't know the exact day the earth was created on. I don't think anybody would know that. I don't know that we need to know. God knows that. And that's fine. Some people would say, well, I believe in a young earth. I believe it's less than 10,000 years old. I'm okay with that. I'm not going to argue the details on that. But if somebody says, I believe it's millions of years old, then we've got a serious problem. But I do believe that if you look at the Bible, and you look at Genesis chapter 5. You're in Genesis, so you can see this. You look at Genesis chapter 5, and God gives us a time frame. Genesis chapter 5, verse 3, the Bible says that Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. And verse 4, the Bible says the days of Adam after he'd begotten Seth were 800 years, he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And the Bible goes in chapter 5, it goes through that from Adam and then Seth and all the way through to all these, all the different people, all the way up to the flood. So we've got a timeline that leads all the way up to the flood. And then we've got a timeline after the flood. And we've got some kind of ideas on how long that took. Now, there's a bit of a gap there. We don't know exactly how long some of the area was in there. But we've got in Luke chapter 3, you've got every person listed from Christ all the way back to Adam. And you understand that it's right about that 6,000 years because you've got these time frames in here. All right, so when did creation take place? About 6,000 years ago. God gives us this record, the record in Luke, I believe the record here in Genesis, to help us to believe in creation. I think we have a question we need to answer here then. If creation is true, if the Bible is true, if God created everything, why is evolution taught so vigorously? Why is it taught so vigorously? Why is it that it's taken to court, the creation versus evolution? Why is it something that people get so upset about? Why is it pushed so hard in our school systems? Well, let me give you some answers for that. First of all, I believe evolution is taught so vigorously to deny the existence of God. To deny the existence of God. If there's no God, then I can do whatever I want. I have a pointless life, but I can live my life doing whatever I want to do. If there's no God, I don't have to worry about judgment. I don't have to worry about standing in front of Him one day. I don't have to worry about doing what He said to do or obeying what He said to do in the Bible. So people want to deny the existence of God. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3, 5, I'm not exactly sure. The Bible says that they being willingly ignorant, and then they deny the fact that there was a flood. We can look at that later. We won't do it tonight. People are looking for ways to deny the existence of God. But the Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows His handiwork. We'll see that in a little bit in Psalms 19, I believe. People want to deny the existence of God, so they'll teach evolution. Creation is God's way to reveal who He is to us. God's not going to stick His face into the atmosphere or stick His hand in. He's not going to. He sent His Son already, and we crucified Him. We rejected Him. He's not going to prove Himself to us that way, but He's chosen to prove Himself to us through creation. He reveals who He is. Romans chapter 1, verse 19. I believe you got these verses there, so they're all written out for you. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. And He makes it manifest through creation. Creation is God's way to reveal who He is to us. Creation is believed by faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. The Bible says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We believe creation by faith, but it also leads us to believe in God by faith. Look at this next thought. I think this is just a really great statement for us to understand. To deny the existence of God, that's the reason they teach evolution. God reveals who He is through creation. We believe in creation by faith. But look at this. Ungodliness is a denial of God's existence, not just mentally, but also in action, in thought and action. Romans chapter 1, there's this passage, and we're not going to have time to really get into it tonight. This passage showing how people get away from God and finally they get to a point where they're so far removed from God that they get involved in all these terrible sins and they're not thinking about God at all and they're doing only what they want to do. They're living a life of ungodliness. What is ungodliness really? What is a life of ungodliness? It's denying that God exists, but not just mentally. It's denying that God exists with my actions. If I don't believe that God exists, if you don't believe that God exists, how are you going to live? I'm not going to live to please God. It doesn't matter if I live a moral life. It doesn't matter if we kill our own babies. It doesn't matter if we kill our own senior citizens. In fact, it doesn't matter if I kill anybody. I mean, there's not a God. So ungodliness is me living in a way that proves that I don't believe that God exists. I won't go that way. Let me just ask you this. It's just a thought. I didn't write it down. Sometimes when I don't write something down, I want to be careful. I don't say the wrong thing. A generation ago, more people believed in God. It seems that we had a whole lot less of the people that would commit a crime and then just take their own life. I don't know if that's true or not. I haven't looked at the statistics. But it seems like it happens a lot. Like there's not really a concern. I believe that it used to be more people believed that there was God, and when they died, they would have to stand before God. And really fearful to stand before God. But if you don't believe in God, there's a difference in actions. And it seems that so many people are willing to take others' lives and even their own lives because they don't even believe that there's a God, that they're going to stand before one of these days. What is ungodliness? Ungodliness is me in my thoughts and actions denying that God exists. So evolution is taught to deny the existence of God. And we see the results in our culture of generations that have been denying the existence of God. And we know it's not getting better because of that. Why else is evolution taught? Well, to deny the authority of God. Unrighteousness is a practical denial of God's authority by way of disobedience. So ungodliness is denying God's existence in my thoughts and my actions. Unrighteousness now, I'm denying God's authority, just choosing to disobey Him. If a man can convince himself that God is not his creator, he can also convince himself that he is not accountable to God as his judge. If you can convince yourself that you just happened, there's not a creator, there's not a God that created you, then it would stand to reason. There's nobody that you have to answer to. You weren't created by anybody, you just happened. So when this life is over, there's nobody that I have to answer to. The Bible says, though, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. We understand that to be true. But if somebody can take God out of their mind and say, God doesn't exist, then I've convinced myself that I don't have to stand before God and He's not going to be my judge. Then I'd be wrong, because God is going to be every man's judge. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every person will be judged. But we have a lot of people going through life thinking that's not going to happen because they don't believe that God created them. Here's another reason evolution is taught: to misdirect the God-given gift of faith and redirect it to evolution. What a sneaky trick this is. To take the faith that God has given somebody and take it and steal it away from God and redirect it toward something that is a complete lie. That's terrible. But you know what? That's not that different than what Satan did in the Garden of Eden. Eve was looking at the fruit, and Satan did this. He said, listen, God, first of all, you're not going to die if you eat that fruit, hath God said. You shall surely die. Thou shalt not surely die, but shall become as gods, knowing good and evil. Taking the truth that God had given Eve and totally twisting it and misdirecting it, and now using evolution, doing the same thing, misdirecting that God-given faith to believe in a lie. You know, that's what religion is about. As I sat in the Catholic funeral last week, I had a hard time not getting really upset at the people that were leading it. But I realized they're just as blinded and they've been deceived just like everybody else. To take the truth of God, that He died on the cross and wants to give the free gift of eternal life, and then sell it as a religion and say you've got to believe in the church and be baptized in this church, and you realize the misdirecting of God's faith and redirecting it to something that's a lie, in this case, evolution. Romans 1:25, the Bible's talking about a sinful man who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Hebrews 11:3, the Bible says, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. God made it all. All right, I want to get through this quickly. What does creation teach us? It teaches the attributes of God. For example, He's powerful. Colossians 1:16 and 17, the Bible says, for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Look at this. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things exist. We see the power of God through creation. Just, you don't even have to look at the Scripture to see the power of God through creation. Walk outside on a clear night, like, well, tonight's going to be, well, it might, you might work, the moon's going to be a little darker tonight than normal. Walk outside on a regular night and just look at the stars. And just think, how powerful must whoever made those have been to have put those there? Then you realize that God, Genesis chapter 1, made the stars also. Wow, He's so powerful. The clouds, the mountains, the earth. Just when you stop and you look at this creation that God has made, you've got to go back and just say, wow, He is so powerful. It teaches us God's power. It teaches us the authority of God. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. If He made it, it belongs to Him. He is in charge. We see God's authority through creation. And that's one of the reasons why people want to destroy our belief in that God created. Now, we don't worship creation. We don't believe in creation, but we believe in God and we understand that He created everything. Why do they want to destroy that? Because they want to destroy God's authority. You know, there's a lot of people that want to destroy authority structures. Where were we? We were at the fair. We were at the state fair last week, and we were walking by this place. You know how the people that work at the fair, they try to sell you all this stuff, and you walk in, and there's, oh, that's where it was. It was in that big building where all these booths are, where people are like vultures, are trying to sell you stuff. And my kids went, and they started, there's this cool toy they're starting to play with, and I was finding them playing with it. There's free samples to play with. But I said to our kids, come on, guys, let's go to the next thing. And they really didn't want to put the toys down, but we had to go to the next section. Our youngest looked at me, and you could tell he was kind of struggling with, I want to keep playing, but Dad said, I need to obey, I need to go. Then the guy working there told him, ask him why. I said, let's go. And the guy that was working, ask your dad why. What's he doing? He's trying to tear down that authority. I got mad. And I don't remember exactly what I said. I don't think I said anything too bad. But I said, we're not going to teach kids to disrespect authority. And we left. But that's happening on a regular basis. And it's not just happening in little ways like that. It's happening in huge ways where they want you to doubt the authority of God in a very similar way, but in a much bigger way by teaching evolution. Okay, creation also teaches us to trust in God. Psalm 119:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. I don't remember the rest of it. And that's all I can remember there. Ecclesiastes 1:5-7, the sun also riseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he rose. The wind goeth toward the south, returneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again unto his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yea, the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, there they return again. You see creation at work. You see the rain turning into rivers, and it goes back to the clouds. It comes back in. What does it do? It teaches us to trust God. God created it, and we could trust Him. Math and science, the universe, it's like this amazing clock. Our solar system has to work just right. Who else thought it was pretty amazing that they were predicting that there's going to be a lunar eclipse tonight? Okay, you may not think that's pretty incredible. I do. How do they know that stuff? And how do they know that the next one like this, a super moon eclipse, harvest moon eclipse, whatever it was, is going to happen in 2033? That's pretty incredible to me. How is it that they can know that? It's because it's predictable. It's because it's set up so very well that it's going to happen the same way. And because of that, we can trust the God that did it. Lots of reasons for creation. All right, it prepares us also to receive and respond to the Word of God. We won't take the time now. Psalm chapter 19, the first half talks about creation. The second half talks about the Word of God. Creation prepares us to receive the Word of God. Why did God create us? I'm going to give you three quick reasons. I want you to see this video. We're going to go. Why did God create us? First, for His glory. Isaiah 43:7, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. Psalm 139:14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that my soul knoweth right well. Why did God create us? For his plan. Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Why did he even make us? He wants to adopt us. He wants us to have that relationship with him. He's got this plan. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. He's got a plan. God created us for his glory. He created us for his plan. And he created us for his fellowship. Why in the world would God make us in the first place? He wants to spend time with us. He wants to spend time with you. God created Adam and Eve, and he put them in this perfect place, and he spent time with them. That's a huge part of why he made us. 2 Corinthians 6:16, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. John 14:3, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's an amazing thing. He wants to be with us. Last verse, 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. What an amazing thing to be able to have fellowship like that. As we're talking about creation, I wanted to show this video. It's about 8 minutes. And I'm done preaching, and we'll show this video. And we'll just have just a very short invitation time. Are y'all ready to show that? It's called The Privilege Planet. Can you turn the air conditioners on down to low so we can understand it better? All right. The Privilege Planet. God put our planet right where it is, and it couldn't have just happened. I know I've showed this here before, but I want you to see it again. The odds of it happening, very conservatively, you'll see the number. I can't remember the number. It's got a lot of zeros behind it. A lot of things had to happen for the Earth to be a planet where people can live on. I just want to finish by reading this because we're teaching on creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Isn't that an amazing thought? Our universe is so, so big, but God made it. It blows our mind just to think how big that is. When you hear billions of years, you start thinking, oh man, I don't know if I can believe this. The idea with that is that's how far you would have to go, and how long it would take to be able to just see the immense universe that God made. And the Bible says, in the beginning, God created it. Father, thank you for letting us be able to be in church this evening. Thank you for the reminder that you made it all. You made this universe. You made us. I pray that you'd help us to live a life that brings glory to you. I pray that you'd help us to yield to your will and to your plan. After realizing just how great you are, just through in the area of creation, it makes me want to give my entire life to you and just say, God, anything you want, you can have. Just take my life and use it. Lord, I pray that you would help us to have that type of a response whenever we're confronted with your power. Lord, thank you for letting us be here this evening. I pray that you would help us as we realize this, as we understand this.